This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let's rejoice and be glad in it.
It is good for us to be here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I was waiting for you to answer. You're not going to. It is good for us to be here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever.
For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. I would like to welcome some visitors today. We have the Girl Scouts with us. Do you have like a pack number or a troop number? 4285. So welcome to the Girl Scouts today. They meet here, I think, every other Tuesday. And they're going to be selling some cookies after the service. So they $5 box. So get your $5 bills out. Anyway, please stand as you're able to do so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, to our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that our deeds may reflect your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 107 responsibly with me. Responsively with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those who are redeemed from trouble.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some are sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endure affliction.
They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. The second reading is from Ephesians, the second chapter. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. My favorite part about this gospel is that, you know, John 3:16, which we all know, right two verses before that, it references this terrifying scene from Numbers, where fiery snakes are, you know, biting people in the wilderness, and then the weirdness of lifting serpent up on a pole. It's kind of just bizarre. Anyway, someday I'll preach on that, not today. Today I'm preaching on a picture I found. I love this picture. Andrew,
you see the picture?
Who we got? Who we got in that picture, Andrew?
Who?
The Avengers? Which one's your favorite Avenger?
Spider-Man.
Looks like we got Captain America here as well. Thor, the Hulk,
Iron Man,
you know, all them. There's a lot more Avengers, trust me. So obviously, this is a funny picture to me, anyway. And gathered around in this picture, all of these Avengers, all of these superheroes, they are gathered around a man.
Jesus.
Looks to be it is
Jesus.
I don't know. He's a man in his early 30s, probably. Beard, long hair, you know, white robe. I guess probably Jesus. We'll call him Jesus, okay? Or God. We're going with Jesus, and that's really confusing. We're not going to touch that today. And this is funny, of course, because normally it is us who are enthralled with superheroes to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars that we have spent on their figures and to go watch their movies, right? Normally, it would be us who, if we had a chance to gather around Iron Man or Superman, who even cares about the DC comics? Iron Man or Spider-Man or the Hulk, it would be us that would be gathered around them, hanging on to every word that came out of their mouths, listening to them say what Jesus here is saying. Dot, dot, dot. And that's how I saved the world. Ironic. I love irony. That's why I find this funny. What this cartoon is telling us then is that the story of how Jesus saved the world is so good, it is so full of mind-boggling twists and turns and miraculous deeds of power, and with an ending that no one ever saw coming, that even these superheroes, the ones who typically wow us with otherworldly feats of strength and salvation, even they can't help but be wowed by Jesus. And the other reason I find this story funny is because this isn't how we tell Jesus' story. In fact, we are so bad at telling Jesus' story that we can't get normal people to even care about it, let alone the superheroes that we see in this picture. Am I right, Andrew?
Yeah.
So this is the kind of sermon that Andrew takes to his therapist when he's 30 and says, "And then my dad said when I was 7 years old." So, Andrew, last Sunday, pretty rough day, huh? Yeah.
Pretty rough day.
He wanted no part of being here at church last Sunday. Andrea, she had to leave halfway through the sermon, and she listened to the rest of it from the hallway back there because Andrew did not want to be in here. So, I was not happy about this. Andrea, super duper. Not happy about this. So we got home, we talked to Andrew, and we agreed. And when I say we agreed, I mean Andrea and I agreed.
Andrew,
he did not agree. He did not agree that he would not have any of his electronic devices until he could sit through church in some sort of reasonable way and behave. Right? Is that what we agreed to? Well, like I said,
he said no.
He did not agree to this. We agreed to this. And in my mind, that meant 1 week.
Grounded
1 week from all of his devices. As in this Sunday, he would get them back. Because obviously he would want to be able to play his Nintendo Switch again. Right, Andrew? Yes, of course. And he would do everything in his power to be good in church today, right? Nope, that's what he said. So on Thursday,
Andrew asked me
if he could play a game on the Nintendo Switch. And I reminded him that earlier in the week that we had agreed, again, not him, that he could have it once he was good in church, which would be the soonest on Sunday. And at this point, the gloves came off. At this point, Andrew became super duper mad at me.
He says,
I'm never going to get it back.
Isn't that what you
said, Andrew? And I said, what do you mean you're never going to get it back? You just have to be good in church on Sunday and you get it back. And he said, I'm never going to get it back. And I said, why? Why can't you just
why can't you just sit through church? And he's like, it's so boring! And at this point, I'm going with it, right? Because I'm interested. I want to know what he wants to say. This is a learning opportunity for me as a pastor. I said, what's so boring about church? And he said, all you ever do is talk. I said, well, Andrew, that's kind of my job. And he said, but then you stop talking and I think you're done. And then you start talking again. It's so boring. I mean, who wants to listen to their dad talk for an hour? I'm with you. Jeff just looked over at Norm. Norm, I can assure you that Jeff wants to listen to you talk for hours on end. Okay? So, Andrew, I have to admit something to you, buddy. I had the same feeling about church when I was your age. Church was so boring. And that's the problem, right? That's not his fault. All right. Well, there you have that. We have been, but think about this. We, Christians, we have been handed, we have been gifted. No copyrights as these superheroes have, right? We have been handed no copyrights, no strings attached, the greatest story ever told. A story that gives us hope when there is no other hope. A story that offers peace when there is no other chance at peace. A story that liberates us. A story that frees us. The story of our salvation. The story of how God came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world as Jesus and God should do, but to save the world. Did Jesus come here to save us from mutant space aliens like the Avengers do? No, even worse, Jesus came to save us from ourselves. And that's really hard to do because we are stupid.
Sorry.
You aren't stupid. And why? Why? Because God loved us so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, so that we might not perish, but that we instead may have an eternal life that we don't deserve. But we have taken this story and made it so boring. We have made it ordinary and blah. And who cares? Can I get my Nintendo Switch now? Was I good enough in church today? Right, Andrew? I have no idea what he's going to say, so I should stop doing that. But that's not on Andrew, is it? It's on me. It's on you. It's on all of us for making this story Jesus' story, which, oh, by the way, is our story, so boring. And it's not on God either. It's not on God. Because guess what God did? This story, it was supposed to be a boring story. If humans had their way, the Messiah would come, he would raise an army, and he would defeat Rome. And it would be like any other war story that ever existed, ever. And we as humans are really good at war, aren't we?
Yeah.
And honestly, I think this story is way better than that.
It has to be.
The Messiah shows up. And we love movies with twists, don't we?
Yeah.
The Messiah shows up and he's willingly murdered. Right? He's nailed to a cross. He's laid in a tomb, and then guess what? There is another twist. He doesn't stay dead.
And on the third, and then there's a third twist to this story.
He ascends into heaven. And there's a cliffhanger in ending. Guess what? God left room for a sequel. Right? Think how many stories like this Jesus can tell. Jesus will return. And there is a sequel, in fact. And we are part of the sequel. Right now, right here and now. And how? Oh, how? have we made this border? And I have to say, you're not going to like my answer. You're not going to like my answer because we love this verse. John 3:16, don't we? We all memorized it. I didn't, because I can't memorize Bible verses. But John 3:16. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of really good things in that verse. But the very end of that verse, there's two words that I don't like. I like, but I don't like our emphasis on them. Eternal life. Eternal life. Because when all we care about is eternal life, we stop telling the story, and instead, we start doing what, Dennis? We start selling eternal life insurance. For those of you who don't know why that's funny, Dennis is an insurance salesman. You're welcome for the free, ad. And that sounds riveting, doesn't it? Man, when I want to have fun, I go talk to my insurance agent. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure they love talking to you, Dennis. But seriously, I've been working on my sales pitch for eternal life insurance. Well, I'm pretty sure we're saved by grace through faith. But just in case we're not, just in case the Catholics had it right on the whole works righteousness thing, we need to protect ourselves a little bit. How am I doing so far? Is this good? Oh, okay. So just show up at church once a week, right? We'll muddle through some hymns, try not to fall asleep during the sermon, and just, and here's the really important part, throw a few bucks in the collection plate before you leave, all right? Eternal life insurance. So, Andrew, he just wants to play the Nintendo Switch. He's got some action figures over there. He wants to play with his action figures. Andrew, what's your favorite sport?
Soccer.
He wants to play soccer. He wants to play baseball. He wants to play football. That's probably not happening, buddy. So, eternal life. What 7-year-old cares about eternal life? Of course, when we come to church and all we care about is eternal life, Andrew doesn't care. This means nothing to him. It's meaningless. Okay, fine, Andrew. You don't want eternal life? I'll go sell it to someone else. Let's sell it to someone who had a really hard life. Someone who experienced abuse maybe growing up, and as an adult, they've turned to drugs and alcohol to cope. They have a job that it maybe pays them enough to get by, but really it's a struggle every day. And maybe they'll live long enough to get Social Security, they hope, but probably not. Nothing else in their life has gone well. You know what? Life's been enough. Or that person who's fought cancer or some other incurable disease and spent the last 15 or 20 years in chronic pain. Do they want eternal life? Again, no. One life? I'm good. As Christians, we focus so much on eternal life that we forget about this life. Jesus saved this world. Right? Because when someone is stuck at the bottom of the pit, our faith certainly has something much more to offer than, don't worry, the eternal life that you've been promised after this one, it probably won't be crap. When we look at that cartoon, it's still there, right? There's an amazing story in there just waiting to be told. Look at it. Do you see it? Where is it? Thank you. Oh my God. Cool. It's the dot, dot, dot. Look at that. And that's how I see the world. That dot, 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 that is our story to tell. Your dot, 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 it's not my dot, 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 but it's still a great story. And we are called to tell that story. So I've talked about Carol before. In case you don't remember Carol, I would not be here if it wasn't for Carol. And I'll say it every time I talk about Carol. If you wish I wasn't here, let me know. I'll give you her phone number, and you can lodge a complaint. Carol is not a complete truth. This life-changing ... story she told me, she didn't do it from a pulpit. She didn't do it from a stage. There were no electric guitars. There were no praise bands. There were no flashing lights. And there were certainly no stinking fog machines. She shared with me a meal in the basement of an old church. And it was not an easy ... for her to share. She opened her heart and her soul to me. She told me of her heartache, rejection, and pain. And it ended with the words, "I made it through because I knew that Jesus loved me. And I know that Jesus accepts me now and always exactly as I am." And that is just one of Carol's ... This is how one time Jesus saved Carol's life. Jesus saved Carol's life that one time by taking her on her heartache and pain and taking on that intolerance. And he's done it every day since. And Jesus does that every single day for each and every one of us. So I ask you, what is your ... What is your story that you're keeping hidden inside? There are a lot of ways to think about this question. Let me ask it this way. How has Jesus saved your life? How has Jesus saved your life? How have you experienced Jesus' saving power in your life? How have you experienced Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Another way of that saying that is, why do you show up here every Sunday? Especially on a Sunday where you lost an hour of sleep. What difference does Jesus make in your life? How does knowing what Jesus has done for us on the cross change your life? How does that give you hope? How does that give you comfort? How does that give you peace? How does that give you blessed assurance? What is your ... and are you prepared to witness to how Jesus has saved your life, has saved this world? I cannot tell your story because the way I just told Carol's story, it was terrible. But Carol tells that story fantastically. And it changed my life. And it could change yours too. And your story could change someone else's life. And here is where I must course correct just a bit. I need to tone down a little of my hating on eternal life. Okay? I need to tone that down just a bit. Because there absolutely is hope and comfort and peace and assurance in the words eternal. And I would even go so far as to say that this eternal life, this ... for many of us is the ... I know that for many of you, your ... is in knowing that your farewell to your loved one, whether it was this past year or whether it was 50 years ago, wasn't the final farewell. That is a powerful story of what Jesus has done for us. There's a sending hymn that I really, really, really love. And I really, really, really love it when we sing it at a funeral. It is, "God be with you till we meet again." So I want to offer this hymn as from a different perspective. I don't think that this is us singing this song to our loved ones, right? This is our loved ones singing this song to us. It is a song of comfort and peace and hope. They console us. God be with you till we meet again. They instruct, when life's perils confound you, put God's unfailing arms around you. They assure us, God be with you till we meet again. And there is comfort in knowing that we will meet at Jesus' feet. The hope of eternal life, this dot, 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 this is meant for us, for the world today, for the living, for those who long to be reunited
with their loved ones
at the feet of Jesus Christ. What is your dot, dot, dot? And are you willing to share it to change someone's life? So as I was writing this sermon, it occurred to me that I have never told Andrew or any of my children my dot, dot, dot. Right? So if I said, Andrew, have I ever told you about the time that Jesus changed my life or Jesus saved my life? Would you listen for at least like 2 minutes? Let him answer. Please say yes. Please say yes. He says no. He would listen. He doesn't have a long attention span, but I think he would listen for a few minutes. You see, if I were able and willing to tell him my dot, 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 at least for those 2 minutes, he doesn't need a Nintendo Switch. He doesn't need me to tell that story on a stage with flashing lights and electric guitars and fog machines, because that just takes away from the story. He just needs to hear the life-changing, world-saving, hope for the hopeless, impossible to believe if it weren't for the faith gifted to us by the Holy Spirit, story of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a story that we are all part of, and it is a story that we get to tell. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Oh, now's where I say that I called an audible, which I said that to Adam, he's like, I don't watch football. We are not singing Lift High the Cross, I'm sorry. We are singing God Be With You Till We Meet Again, which is hymn number 536. The red hymnal, you got to get it out. Please stand and we will sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
I ask you to join in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He was ascended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand.
Noel. I would like to lift the people of Haiti. There is a lot of gang violence going on there, and they are pretty much descending into chaos on a daily basis. So we will lift the people of Haiti in our prayers as well. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, for the well-being of creation, and for a world in need.
Gracious God, your love unites. Give vision to your church and foster cooperation in mission across the globe, especially with our sister churches in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania, here in Northwest Ohio, especially within our synod, and in Galleon and Crawford County, especially between our sister churches, including St. Paul's, Peace, St. John, and Trinity.
Increase interreligious understanding, opening our hearts and minds to receiving in love our Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, and Sikh neighbors, and those of other faith traditions or no faith traditions, including atheists, freeing us from false conceptions that lead to mistrust and hatred. Make your church a sanctuary for all fleeing persecution, disaster, and war, especially in Ukraine and Russia, Gaza and Israel, Haiti, and other places where Christian persecution remains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Merciful God, your love heals. Strengthen healthcare workers, first responders, and caregivers.
Relieve all who live with chronic pain, chronic illness and pain, especially the family and friends of Paul, Patty, Ken, Robert, Jake, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Alec, Noel, the homebound and those living in assisted facilities, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Righteous God, your love liberates. We give thanks for those who courageously witness to your liberating love and remember those who live out their lives, your love in their lives.
We thank you for the lives of Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, who we commemorate today. Guide and protect all who continue the spirit of their work. Through your grace and the work of your people, remove from us the evils of racism, religious strife, bigotry, and hatred. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Abiding God, your love saves. Care tenderly for all who grieve the death of friends and loved ones. Remind us the sure and hope that God loved the world so much that Jesus was given that we may not perish, but have eternal life.
Continually renew our faith, assuring us that those who died in faith are made alive in Christ. We give thanks for your promise that we also will be raised to newness of life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. Let us pray in your name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their ending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sent into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God who sent his Son for all invites us to this table where we are welcome. It is here we feast on the body and blood of Jesus Christ that sustains us as we wait for him to return. And it is this body and blood that gives us eternal life. A note to our visitors today at this communion table, all are welcome. So if you would like to receive communion, please come forward. Just do what the people in front of you do. You'll figure it out. There's a little cup right there that you take and, you know, all the things. If you would prefer grape juice instead of wine, let the person who is providing the wine know. If you would prefer a blessing rather than communion, please let me know as you come forward. But again, at this table, all are always welcome.
Thank you. body of Christ broken for you.
You may remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Generous God, at this table we have tasted your immeasurable grace. As grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, now make us one loaf to feed the world. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life. Amen.
Amen. You may remaining seated. A few announcements this morning. Let's see. Check the boards, check the tables for any announcements for anything that you can sign up for. There's several things going on right now. I think there's a meal for the, tell me about that. Well, we got this Wednesday's meal, right? And then there's the city meal next week. So do we need people to sign up to bring stuff for both?
Chili
for the city meal.
Baked spaghetti for this week.
Baked spaghetti for this week. So people need to sign up for both. All right, come on, people. We need food. All right. So check that out. Today is the last day to order Easter lilies. So if you want an Easter lily, fill out your form. Even if you don't have the money on you, we trust you, okay? Fill out the form, get the rest of the money later, it'll be fine. If you'd like an Easter lily to decorate our sanctuary and then you get to take it home with you, it'll be great. Lenten services continue this Wednesday at St. Paul in North Robinson, 7 p.m. We're going to do commandments starting with 5. Council meeting, committee night, committee fellowship starts at 5:30.
It's not a museum, people. The table out there, you're allowed to sit at it. You can sit at it, you can drink coffee at it, and cookies, right? You can be friends with one another. Okay? All right? It's an area meant for fellowship to gather. All right. Anyway, any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none? One more announcement. After the blessing, I'm going to send them out to get set up for cookies, and then y'all buy them. Okay? All right. So please stand for a blessing. Who has an announcement? What? Oh, yeah.
If you have a busy bag,
wherever
the thing is, put it back on
the hooks.
If you help with the busy
bags, you know who you are.
Thank you so very, very much.
It helped Andrew, I think, get his, devices back for the week. Sunday. Anyway,
and now,
may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. All right, we are going to continue after a short prayer. Good and gracious God, you are the one who brings all healing. We pray for our friends in Christ that are struggling health-wise. Please be with him as he is being attended to, and please be with those who are working to make him well. It is the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
but in order that the world might be saved through him.
All at peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.